Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show.
Welcome to the Franchise Secrets Podcast. Eric Van Horn here today with Craig Ballantyne. Now, Craig is known as the world's most disciplined man. He built Turbulence Training to over $10 million in sales and now runs Early to Rise. His books, The Perfect Day Formula and Unstoppable, have helped over 55,000 high-performing individuals like you to own the day, double your income, and work less. Craig has built 5 7-figure businesses in 5 different industries, written 3 books, including 1 Wall Street Journal bestseller. He's mentored thousands of entrepreneurs all over the world, ranging from 9-figure CEOs to industry titans to busy fathers and high school teachers and everyone in between. He's helped more than 260 entrepreneurs earn their first 7 figures and countless others make more and work less. Man, I've been so excited to have you on the podcast, Craig. We're going to be talking about so many things, but like when I think about how to get more done in less time, it's you. When I think about how to squeeze more out of life, it's you. So welcome to the show.
This is going to be a lot of fun, my man.
I'm super excited. So tell us a little bit more. What did I miss about who is Craig Ballantyne?
Well, you know, I grew up, I'm just a farm boy from Canada, and I wanted to, I actually wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach in the National Hockey League. And that didn't work out, but I started writing for Men's Health magazine. And that's where I discovered that I was really passionate about people, helping people find scientific shortcuts for success, whether it was scientific shortcuts for their workouts, which is like the first half of my career, or scientific shortcuts for productivity and discipline, which is, you know, more pertinent to everybody listening like right now, because they're probably thinking, well, you know, I've got all these franchisees or all these franchises and that I'm trying to herd these cats and, you know, get all these people to do all these things. And I've only got 24 hours in a day and I've got my family and I've got my fitness and my faith and all of my hobbies and all these things that I want to, you know, find time for. And what I did, Eric, is I just done a real deep dive into the study of successful people, into productivity, into morning routines, into structure and organization, into personal and self-discipline. And I tried to find the easiest ways, but the simplest ways to squeeze more juice from the week and more juice from our work. And so that way we have these work hours that are super productive, but I didn't say long work hours. So they're just work hours that are super productive, which then allow you to go home, be with your kids, help them with their homework, or to take those vacations with your family that, you know, you see other entrepreneurs maybe taking and you're like, man, you and your spouse are sitting around going, hey, how come we're not taking those vacations? So it's really my mission in life is to work with that entrepreneur to get them more freedom. Because, you know, I did one of these exercises recently, kind of going down to like, what's the thing that really drives me? And it's always been freedom. It's freedom from being told what to do, freedom to do what I want with my time, freedom to do the things where I want, when I want, all those types of things. And it requires a lot of hard work to get your freedom, but I'm dedicated to doing that hard work. I always said, Eric, that I would be happy to work. I wouldn't want to work 40 hours a week for somebody. So I'm willing to work 12 hours a day for myself so that I don't have to work 40 hours a week for other people. Now, that was when I was young. Obviously, I don't work 12 hours a day now because I figured out all these ways not to. But that was the extent to which I was willing to go back in the day to get my freedom.
I think a lot of people probably resonate with that. I know I do. And we just recently, my wife and I were talking about the early days of being in business together and how we were working those 12-hour days, but we have no desire for that anymore. So I want to get into the, like, how do you actually do this? But I think freedom drives most people. I've helped thousands of people get into business. Freedom is the reason why they get into it. But most people don't experience the freedom once they are an entrepreneur. And I was just reminded too, you were on in the speaking into the Franchise Tribe Mastermind about a month ago. You were one of the guest speakers and you talked about some of this stuff. One of the things that you said really hit me. You said, you don't have to wake up like at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. to be able to do some of this stuff. And you hear that a lot. Some of our good friends talk about getting up early and whatnot, but I love just your perspective on that because some people just aren't early morning people. And I wanted to share that for anyone that's listening. That's like, hey, this is going to be the same stuff that I've heard before. Trust me, this is not the same stuff that you've heard everywhere else. So Craig, like where does an entrepreneur that's driven by freedom, but is experiencing 12 hours a day of work actually start?
Yeah, the first thing to do is, great question, by the way. The first thing to do is that self-reflection and introspection. And there's two things that will really open up somebody's time. And the first is identifying all the negative time sucks. A lot of us, we rush to the, okay, if I want to be productive, that means I got to get up earlier. I got to do these cold showers. I got to, you know, go really hardcore on this stuff. No. First of all, it's just like weight loss. You know, it's not about adding more things. It's about, first of all, what's stopping you from losing weight? Well, you know, you go to Cheesecake Factory, you have 2000 calorie appetizers at Applebee's. If we remove those negatives, you're going to probably start losing weight and it's going to be very simple for you. Same with our time. Are you watching 4 episodes of Netflix a night? Are you drinking 2, 3, 4 alcoholic drinks a night? Are you sleeping in? Are you, you know, on social media 3 or 4 hours a day? Are you getting in a lot of political arguments? I mean, it's very easy to get sucked into this thing right here, the phone. And if you don't set up systems to protect yourself from the negative, just like if you don't set up systems to keep the junk food out of the house or to prevent yourself from overeating when you do go to a restaurant, if you don't have systems in place, if you don't have accountability to a coach or a mentor or a buddy or peer group or trainer or whatever, you won't be able to remove those negatives. So the number one thing that we do to help people be more productive without getting up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., or even 6 a.m. is to figure out through that self-reflection, what's stealing my time? What's stealing my time? Because everybody listening to this, whether you own a franchise or you have many franchisees, you have systems in place so that nobody's stealing your money. Every single year when you do your taxes, following the system that prevents the government from stealing too much of your money. They're going to take some of your money, but you do everything you possibly can. You set up systems so that you protect yourself. But when it comes to time, which if you have children, you know, is a much more valuable currency than money, we actually have very few systems that stop people from stealing our time. In fact, we've set up our lives where it's almost that we're just allowing people in newsletters and social media and our phone and all these bad habits just to like come in and hold us up at gunpoint and take all the time out of our little time cash registers. So first of all, identify the stealers, the thieves of your time. And once we've done that, well, you know, whether it is the Netflix or the social media or something, we can start building in the things. And you could be removing apps from your phone. You could be unsubscribing from email newsletters, which is something that you should almost do on a monthly or quarterly basis. It's just, you know, why am I on this? Unsubscribe, 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 unsubscribe. Because every minute you spend reading some stranger's email newsletter, you're stealing from your kids or you're stealing from your own workouts if, you know, you're struggling to be in good health. So remove all the toxic temptations and the distraction bombs. And sometimes that also means, you know, you have to remove yourself from certain environments. Like if you're a good boy or good girl 5 or 6 days a week, but then, you know, you meet up with one friend after work on Thursday or Friday, it becomes 4 hours in a bar. And then the next morning you're hungover and you can't do anything. You've got to remove yourself from that environment. And I used to be a binge drinker, Eric. So I hung around guys who, you know, we'd love to meet up and drink. And, you know, every Saturday was just, you know, it was like 12 hours drinking with these guys. And I didn't want to lose them as friends, but I wanted to lose binge drinking as a bad habit. So I simply changed my meetups with those friends to very early on either Sunday or Saturday morning, or sometime during the week for physical activity. They, you know, they were into hikes, they were into working out. So I would still remain in friendship with them, but the system I created for the friendship did not have negative consequences. So that's number one.
So real quick with that, Craig, because you were talking about some of those things that steal time. And I'm probably, as I look back, I've been unsubscribing like a madman the last month of all these different newsletters, even newsletters like, I really like this one or this person, but I'm just going to unsubscribe. And some of them are friends of mine. I'm like, I hope they don't see this. I'm sure they don't care. But, you know, I've unsubscribed from so many different newsletters that are really good things. So I like that little tip. Are there any other little things that you would suggest that are common time stealers? Even like you said, remove apps. Some of this sounds extreme, but they're absolutely time stealers. And I've removed apps. I know some people don't have Facebook, don't have Instagram on their phone because of that.
Yeah. And so there are certain things that I manually access without being on the app, so that it's not pushed out to me, but instead I push myself to it and give myself, you know, 5 minutes to go. And you know, I know this person is very smart. They post really good stuff on Twitter. I go to Twitter, the website, not through the app. I'm not signed in. I go just to that person's profile. I read their stuff. I don't get sucked into the other stuff. Another thing that I do is I actually, I pay or I give access to some of my content to young people, and I have them go and listen to podcasts and distill it down into 5 bullet points that they send me. So I'm actually consuming the content in a much more efficient way that I, you know, like there was this one Tim Ferriss episode that I really, you know, I heard everybody told me I had to go and listen to. Well, I don't have 2 hours for a Tim Ferriss episode. So I sent that off to a young kind of apprentice. They distilled it down and they're taught to distill it down into a very small amount of information. And then from one of those bullets, if I feel like, oh, I want more information on this, then they can bring me more information on it. So you can actually outsource your consumption of information, because I'll tell you what, otherwise it's a slippery slope of adding another. I'm just going to add one more podcast. And now you got 12, now you got 13, now you got 14. And you know, the way in which people are pumping out content today, you simply can't keep up. There's over 3 billion videos added to TikTok every month. And that's just an example of like how much content is being consumed or produced, I mean. And so that's one other thing that you can do. But yeah, ruthlessly reduce it. There's a great Bruce Lee quote. He says, it's not about the daily increase, but the daily decrease. Hack away at the unessential. And so, are you reading the newsletter for entertainment? Are you reading the newsletter out of habit? Or are you reading the newsletter because it's going to have a significant, and I mean a significant, impact on your financial situation or your personal health or whatever it is that you're listening to? So you do have to be ruthless around that. And you have to just build in those hacks that allow you to get what you need and then get out of there without being sucked into the vortexes that are those social medias or whatever it is. So it's simply one of the things that I taught to your mastermind, and I'll teach it here again, is it's to do a time journal. If you want to lose weight, you do a food journal to see everything that's going in. If you want to do a time journal, or if you want to be more productive and accountable for your time, you do a time journal to see how you're spending your time. And then you can associate, why am, you know, I'm always wasting time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's because maybe you ate a poor lunch, or, you know, you ate too many simple carbohydrates at lunchtime. So now you're tired at 3 o'clock and you can't do any work. You can't focus. So you screw off onto social media, and the next thing you know, 45 minutes are gone. If you aren't doing that time journaling, you don't make that cause and effect association, which means you never get down to the root of the problem. And you think it's, it's Instagram's the problem. Instagram's not the problem. Your energy levels are the problem. And you got to trace that all the way back to your energy levels are the problem, because your nutritional choices are the problem. Oh, okay. Well, if I fix that, now I have more energy. I don't even think about Instagram at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So those are the types of things that come from that time journaling. You identify the negatives. Now, on the flip side, Eric, the good thing is that when you do your time journal, you also identify what I call your magic time, which is the time of day that you're three times more creative, productive, and energetic. And if you identify that magic time and you open it up to do your hardest work inside the time of day when you are naturally more energetic and focused, all of a sudden, you know, you can get two, three, four times as much work done in a short amount of time. And if you had tried to, like, let's say the activity was that you're writing up a franchise agreement or you're putting together a sales script for a video to sell a franchise or something like that. It's a very difficult, you know, intelligence consuming, energy consuming, focus consuming task. And if you do that at a time of day when your discipline and willpower are low, your natural energy levels are low, I mean, that could be like a 3, 4, 5, 6 hour task. But if you do that during your magic time, when your creativity, focus, energy, willpower, intention are all very high, and you realize that through the introspection and self-reflection, that task might only take you 90 minutes. So 90 minutes when done in magic time, 6 hours when done at almost any other time of the day. You haven't actually produced anymore. You've just produced it four times faster. And that is the positive side. So get rid of all the negatives, which open your schedule up, then make the match between the energy intensity and focus intensive task and your best energy. And that synergy is where you're able to really, really start cranking stuff out. And, you know, you mentioned at the start of the podcast, you know, in the introduction, Craig's the world's most disciplined man. I didn't make that up. A friend of mine made that up. A guy named Ed O'Keefe in the nutritional supplement space made that up because he said, Craig, you're the most productive person I've ever met. I had two very large information product businesses at the time that Ed said that to me. And he was like, I don't understand how you get all of this, all these newsletters done in this business, let alone both of these businesses. You're insanely productive. And I'm insanely productive because I identified that first thing in the morning, I can crank out content. Like, it just flows out of me. Like, I can crank out content faster than I can type, you know, and it's just words and words, 2,000 words in an hour is what I wanted to say there, which is, you know, if I try to do that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I might get 200 to 500 words done in an hour, but I've matched the activity to the time. And that has made an incredible amount of difference. And that's what I want to impress upon everyone. And here's what's, sorry, go ahead.
If you want to go deeper as a franchisee, then check out the Franchise Tribe Mastermind. It's a tribe of franchisees across many different brands, sectors, and industries with many things in common besides just franchising. Things like being growth-minded and having a lifestyle focus, remembering why you got into business in the first place, learning from others' mistakes versus just making a bunch of your own mistakes, or helping people avoid the mistakes that you've made. A desire to shortcut the path to success. In other words, franchisees who want to be around like-minded, solution-oriented A players. Check out franchisesecrets.com/mastermind.
So how does distraction fit into that? I mean, I would imagine like distractions later in the day are pretty typical. So is it most magic time that you've seen in the morning or before something happens, whether it's meetings or whatever? Because I found it in my own life, like once I hit like 9 o'clock in Mountain Standard Time, emails start coming in, text messages start coming in. And it's hard for me to ignore some of that because I can just get it done quickly. Well, early in the morning is a magic time for me. I know it's my magic time, even recently as I've dealt with some different things where my focus in the morning has been way higher than it is in the afternoon as I've discovered over the past month.
Yeah, there's one other aspect that will make you super focused, and that is a deadline with significant consequences. So we've all had very productive afternoons in our lives because something had to be done at 5 o'clock. You know, something had to be submitted to legal or to a bank or
the IRS a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and you, wow, how did you get so productive? It's because it's actually, it's in the corporate world, it's called the holiday effect, people are most productive on the last couple of days before they go on vacation because they have that ultimate deadline. And so in a regular day, how do you harness the power of that if you can't do your magic time? Because I know some people are going, well, I know I'm really productive at 9 o'clock in the morning, but that's when I have all these meetings. All right. So if you can't be really productive in your magic time every day, hopefully you can at least a couple times per week. The other thing is harnessing the power of an end of day deadline. Research shows that we are have the most discipline, willpower, and intention early in the morning. It is a natural thing for most people, probably 80% of people. And then we also have this little boost of energy 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, depending on what time you go to bed. And we've all had that especially when if you're young and single, or if you don't have kids yet, or maybe your kids have moved out, or maybe your kids are really busy with their own stuff. You found yourself working at 7 or 8 at night. And like, yeah, you're pretty focused. Focus for a couple of reasons. One, naturally you have some energy, but two, also that's when the texts and emails have died down. I know I live in the Pacific time zone. So once 3 o'clock hits, my inbox, like nothing comes in. Nothing comes in again till about late at night, because I have a bunch of clients in Australia and New Zealand. So I start getting hit from them about midnight, but I'm fast asleep by then. So I have this, you know, huge dead time about 3 until 5 PM if I'm working till that late in the day where I don't have much. And again, I can get another aspect of work done. But again, the most important thing is match the energy of the activity to the energy of your brain whenever you can. If you can't do your, if you know your magic time is a time of day when you have a lot of meetings that, you know, they do depend on other people's schedules and you can't get out of them. If you can at least block it off twice a week, that'd be incredible. You know, maybe you get it on Saturday morning as well. And then you harness the power of the deadline, you know, what do you call it, an artificial deadline or a real deadline, getting some work done later in the day. And there has to be consequences to every deadline, because if you say, well, I got to get this done by 5 o'clock today, but you're just saying that. And if you don't get it done at 5 o'clock, you know, you still get to go home and have dinner. You don't get penalized by legal fees or anything like that. And there's really no consequence to it. The only way that we can get significant consequences in there without them being externally imposed upon us by legal or banking is really to have accountability to a peer partner, someone you don't want to let down. Because if you think about whether you've made a promise to your parents, a promise to your spouse, a promise to your brother or sister, a promise to your kids, making that promise to somebody that you deeply do not want to disappoint will, you know, it can help you move mountains in your life. It will help you stick to a deadline. And so when you find, whether it's a coach, whether it's somebody who's a coaching client of yours, Eric, or a coaching client of mine, or whether it's, you know, just somebody who is at the same level in business and you really respect them and you say, hey, you want to be an accountability partner? Like one of my mentors, a guy named Marshall Goldsmith, says that everybody should have an accountability partner that they check in with every day on 3 to 5 questions that don't change every day. Like, did you do this? You know, did you get up on time? Did you work out? Did you spend 60 minutes doing this? Did you say I love you to your spouse? And did you shut your phone off at 6 o'clock? If you do those, you know, those are the 5 questions you have to answer every day. And if you do those things, you're going to be on track, and I'm going to hold you accountable to them. And you and I are really good friends, and you know, you're going to be honest, but so you're not going to lie, but you're going to be feeling a little bit disappointed in yourself if you don't answer in the positive for those things on a regular basis. So harnessing the power of that will also move you ahead in life.
I love that. And just 2 things that you said that resonated a lot, you know, magic time, 3X magic time. If you really knew that you could get 3X done during an hour or 2 hour or 3 hour time frame, you would probably adjust some of those meetings that are being dictated by other people that could be dictated by you. And I've done that in the past. I've had different things on my calendar. And I said, this is non-negotiable. This time on this day is non-negotiable. It is for X, Y, and Z. And they didn't even need to know what it was, but I started to take more control over my calendar, Craig. And I realized how easy it was to do because other people would just work around it. I used to be the guy that would work around everybody else's calendar.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So this is where the work comes in.
Most of us are like, who am I to ask that person to do it? Well, listen, I mean, they'll do it. If you come from a blue collar background like I do, is when you're first getting into that mindset, you do feel like a little bit like, really? Who am I to make that ask that all the meetings have to be between 2 and 4 in the afternoon in order to protect my magic time? What kind of person do I think I am? But at the end of the day, that's the best thing for you. It's probably the best thing for them. It's the best thing for your family. It's the best thing for everything. So you do have to make those asks. And I love that phrase that you used, non-negotiable as well. And when you put that in place, that's huge. And the other thing that I'll add to that, Eric, is that I find that a lot of entrepreneurs suffer in the productivity area because of what I call death by 1,000 cuts. Death by 1,000 cuts is when you have an hour of this, 45 minutes of this, then you go to 45 minutes of this, then you have 30 minutes on this, then you have 30, and then an hour, and then an hour. If your day is in 30 and 60 minute blocks, you are not using time blocking and time batching properly. So like for me on Mondays, this is nearing the end of my Monday, and my Monday is meeting, hour-long meeting with executive team, hour-long meeting with marketing team, hour-long meeting with entire team, and then a break, then another hour-long meeting. I'm having this podcast during that break. So now all the meetings have been batched onto Monday. And my entire career, whether I was doing one-on-one meetings with people or team meetings, always Monday. And then the rest of my weeks, mornings are batched for creativity. Afternoons are batched for coaching calls, other podcasts, that sort of stuff. And it's, I know this because I used to be that person who would do a sales call in the morning and then a couple hours, like an hour and a half, I'd do something else. But it's that transition time. The transition time of, you're working and you have a 2 o'clock podcast or a 2 o'clock something that's in your mind all the time. And then at about, 1:30, you're like, oh man, maybe I should start shutting down now or whatever. But it's really like a 1 hour podcast is really a 2 hour activity. And so I always tell my coaching clients that when you say you have an hour long task, you actually have to double the time, the transition into it, because you're transitioning out of another activity, transitioning into it, whether it means setting up your microphone, shutting off all your windows, et cetera. You got to transition mentally into the podcast. You do the podcast. Now you got to transition out of the podcast back in. You got to put the microphone away. You got to do this, that, and the other thing. And it's like you actually just spent 2 hours on that. And the hour that you had dedicated to writing after it was really only 30 minutes because you didn't get done the podcast till 3:15. You did 30 minutes of writing. Then you had to transition and get ready for the 4 o'clock meeting. So it's that death by 1,000 cuts that gets so many people.
If you're a franchisor and you're interested in becoming one of my private clients, the thing that I do best is help franchisors with their franchise development process. As I've talked to many franchisors over the years, hundreds of franchisors, most of them have broken processes and they have a lot of holes that they are letting really good candidates fall out. The buyers are falling out and they are spending way too much time with the wrong people who don't end up buying. As a result, they are not able to be very effective in that process. I love to help franchisors who have a broken franchise development process or that just needs to be optimized. Message me or email me at eric@franchisesecrets.com, E-R-I-K at franchisesecrets.com, or sign up for the monthly memo and reach out to me.
Why do we continue to do death by 1,000 cuts, even though we know it intellectually? But for me, I would say I'm 80% there, but I'm not 100% there yet. So why do people have a hard time intellectually knowing that, but actually doing something about it?
Well, we intellectually know that when we go to a Las Vegas buffet, that we can only eat a certain amount of food. And yet when you look at everybody's plate at a buffet, doesn't matter where it is, we intellectually know that there's only this much food can fit into our stomachs. Everybody's plate has this much. So we are irrationally exuberant for our ability to do stuff, right? Like, oh yeah, it's just another podcast. Put it on my calendar. It's just another whatever. Put it on my calendar. We're entrepreneurs. We're so optimistic. We're like, yeah, I can get so much done. And you know, that's what drives us as entrepreneurs, like to see opportunity out there and take advantage of it. But it's our downfall in that we overthink how much we can get done. And in my book, I call this trying to fit 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag.
What book? What book is that? And repeat that, please.
That's in the Perfect Week Formula book, which is my latest book. And Perfect Week Formula just shows people how to batch and block their time and take advantage of magic time, and also have non-negotiables like date night and workouts, and somehow have this... It helps them have their most productive week ever, even though it reduces the amount of time they are spend working. So they have a much higher quality of life. But that's in one of the chapters in there is about how most people have these 25 thing to-do lists and they get 5 of those things done. And it's actually a fairly amount of accomplishment, but they sit there and kick themselves because there's 20 things on the to-do list that they didn't get done. And the truth is, like, 19 of those 20 things shouldn't have been on the to-do list anyways, but you just added it because you're an entrepreneur who thinks they can do a million things. And so that's why we intellectually make that mistake.
So tell, like, coaching, you talked about coaching clients, you talked about accountability. I love how you like are giving, like, there's a really good way to do things, but then you can level it up. But, like, you know, you can hire someone to be your coach, your accountability partner, but you can also talk to an entrepreneur that's at the same level that you are to be an accountability partner. But what is it like for someone that just wants to go all in on this productivity thing to work with somebody like you? Like, I don't even know.
We have a program that's basically called the Disciplined Entrepreneur. And Disciplined Entrepreneur, we have everything from one-day workshops where people, right now they're virtual, but we used to do them in person, small groups, getting everything out of your head, because that's where a lot of entrepreneurs struggle. So they have all this stuff in their head. It causes a lot of stress and anxiety because it's like walking around with, you know, a jigsaw puzzle, you know, all the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle in your head. They're not put together. You don't have a clear vision, a clear path. You have to get all that stuff out of your head. And that's what we do at that one-day workshop. Then from there, if people are a good fit, we kind of get them into our one-on-one coaching. So we have multiple coaches in our program. We have a very defined system of getting the clarity, getting their personal habits in place so that now they're 2-3 times more productive. We help them set up their meeting rhythms. Like, so people were going, wow, I really like that idea of how he set up his Mondays for meetings. Man, I've been doing that for a decade now. And everybody's aligned on Monday. So everybody can go off and be a high performer. Because it's one thing for you to be a disciplined entrepreneur, but if your organization is very chaotic and there's not good communication and clarity on the vision that we help you create, then your staff might be productive, but they're productive at the wrong things, or you're going in the wrong direction. And you can go 10 miles in the wrong direction and say, man, we went 10 miles today, but yeah, you went the wrong direction. So we get people aligned on that. And then we have a disciplined sales approach. We have a disciplined marketing approach. And then we teach people how to be disciplined with their numbers. And, you know, once they've made the money, what to do with it next. So those are all the things that we coach people on. And it's been everything from solo entrepreneurs who, you know, gym owners who have just $500,000 business to friends of ours that are in the 100 million mastermind group that have 9 figure companies, but, you know, they are working too much, and we help them go and get that back on track. So we are really just helping that small business owner to be that disciplined entrepreneur. And the discipline equals freedom. Discipline and structure equal freedom. The more discipline, the more structure you have in your day, in your business, in your organization, in your processes, the more freedom you have, because you know the money's coming in and you have the time. So you have financial freedom and you have time freedom. You actually have time to enjoy the money. Most entrepreneurs have one or the other. It's rarely that they have the time. They often have the money, but they don't have the time to enjoy it. So we make sure that they do.
I love it. How do people get into your world?
I'm a big user of Instagram. We create a lot of content there. And if you send a message on Instagram at Real Craig Ballantyne, we'll get it. We'll get back to you. My book, The Perfect Week Formula, is our latest book. And I highly recommend people start there. You can go and get the digital versions for free. No opt-in required at craigballantyne.com/free books. Or if you're like me and you like the physical copies, go and just a little, you know, 10 bucks or something at perfectweekformula.com. You'll get access to that. And that's where people have some huge breakthroughs and really, really see the value. So hit me up there. Or, you know, if you're old school like me, I like email because, again, I don't get any email after 3 o'clock. So I don't really have a full inbox. You can just email me at craig@craigballantyne.com.
So we'll put links in the show notes. We will also email links out. If you're not a part of the Franchise Secrets newsletter, go to franchisesecrets.com, opt in there, and we will just make some of this stuff easier for you to consume. Man, you just said so much there. I know we have about 8 minutes left at the most. So I wanted to... Well, you just said something, Craig. You don't get emails after three. You explain that. You don't look at them. You don't what?
I was talking about that before. Well, here's the thing with email. I like email because I like reading, but I don't like getting a lot of emails. And so, you know, the emails that I want, I like getting. And years ago, I was mentored in a way by this guy, Dan Kennedy. And Dan Kennedy is this grumpy old man, and he never had a cell phone and he never had email. He made everybody, and this is true, like people tried to, like, you know, out him and like, oh yeah, you're lying. Like no one ever was able to prove that he had a cell phone or email, and you had to communicate him by fax. So that was such an aha moment to me that I then started teaching my clients, my friends, my business partners to treat email like fax, like a fax machine, right? So think if you had to send a fax, like you had to get up, you had to take a piece of paper over, you had to put it in a fax machine, and that's how you send email. Like, how many emails would you send in a day? Very few, right? So I taught people to, you know, if you're going to send me an email, you know, it's got to be like bullet points and like, you know, here are the exact questions I want. So I don't get a lot of email in the first place. The other thing about email is that if you have a full email inbox, it's really your fault, because the amount of emails you receive is often a factor of how many emails you send out. So notice, like, how many times do you just, like, you know, two word email or five line email? Like, why don't you just, like, hold on that? Save it in your drafts, add to it. So there's a significant email that goes out. So it has the weight of a fax, so the weight of a letter, not an email or a text message. And I never get into those, oh, thank you. No, you're welcome. Oh, no, thank you. Like, people send these five email sequences back and forth where they just can't end a conversation. So if somebody sends me something and there's no action required in it, like if there's no question mark, I don't reply back to an email. It's like, okay, like, to me, the sequence is done. So I don't have to say thank you or got this or whatever. You can just assume that the message got through to me. You've told me what to do. I will do it. And I just act on that so that, again, it doesn't, most people then add two or three more emails by replying back, thank you. And then they say, no problem. Like, if you were doing this by fax, like, no one ever just sends a fax back saying thank you, LOL. You know, like that's something that I've just treated email in a different way, and as a result, I get fewer emails. So your inbox is your responsibility.
Your inbox is your responsibility. So you just stop replying after three, and people just know that. And as I look back, like, there's no, if someone needs me, they're gonna text me. Or they're going to call me if they absolutely need me. So coach me a little bit here. And we got a few more minutes left. If I want to stop replying to emails at 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, do I just simply stop replying? And then when I wake up in the morning, I have this tendency to want to reply. It's my magic time. I know it's my magic time, but it's so tempting to want to wipe out the emails so I can mentally go on through the day. So what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. So, I mean, back when I used to have anxiety attacks, and part of it was because I would wake up in the morning, I'd wake up late, I'd roll over in bed and look at the inbox. And one morning, you know, 15 years ago, I woke up and I said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get up 5 minutes earlier, so I'm not waking up late, and I'm going to wait 5 minutes longer to check my email. I did that for a week. The week after that, I went five more minutes before checking email, and I got up 5 minutes earlier. Now I had a 20-minute spread where I did work. Then the week after that, I had it up to a 30-minute spread, and I slowly increased the spread because, you know, one thing to think about is that those emails have been there for 8 hours while you've been in bed. They can wait. They can wait another 90 minutes because that's your magic time. And you can look at it as a reward. If I do my work, if I eat my vegetables here and do my work, I get the reward of having dessert, which is checking my email. And, you know, you can send the email off, but no one's going to answer it anyways because it's early in the morning. So, you know, why bother going into the email at all? Plus, if you go into the email, there might be 11 emails saying, oh, I want to sign up for your $25,000 or $50,000 coaching program. And then one person saying, well, I didn't like your podcast today. And all you're going to remember is that I didn't like your podcast. And you're going to, now I remember when I was young, I would spend the entire morning thinking up like really snarky replies, never sending them. But I was like, I just spent 3 hours thinking of snarky replies to somebody who wanted a refund because they couldn't download my turbulence training program. And that's when I started to, you know, compartmentalize it and put the emails off till later. But that's what you have to do. And you know, if you're going to stick to it, like, I don't like people who have those autoresponders that say, you know, I only respond to email between 2 and 4. And then you send them an email at 11 o'clock in the morning and they reply like a minute later. It's like, listen, all right, have integrity with yourself. If you're going to have that thing, have that thing. So you got to make that rule, and that can be part of your accountability. And then the other thing that I've added is that when I send an email out that doesn't have question marks in it, I add 4 letters. NNTR. And if it's the first time I've ever said this to somebody, then I include the definition, no need to reply. And that's my signature to the email. It's like above my name, or there's like, my name's not even in it. It's just, you know, got it. I will meet here at 9 p.m. I will bring this, NNTR, no need to reply, which stops the email thread.
I love this. We're talking systems. It takes work. It takes intention. But, and Craig, we didn't even get into half the stuff that we talked about in the mastermind. We had Q&A about the mastermind. If you're a franchisee, you want to be around other franchisees, check out Franchise Tribe Mastermind or just franchisetribe.com. We have great guests like Craig coming on there doing a deep dive into this kind of stuff. Craig, anything else, since like we really didn't get into the stuff that we could have or should have, buy his book, Perfect Week Formula, get into his world, follow him on Instagram. He's an absolute amazing man that works magic around this stuff. But Craig, what didn't we get to that you want to leave that audience with?
At the end of the day, I want to help people get freedom because money and stuff are great. We're building our businesses to, you know, have a greater income. But at the end of the day, it's all about people and experiences. Your life, your memories are all about the people that you spend your time with and the experiences that you have with them. And yeah, some of them might be like, you know, taking the family around the world or something, but most of them are the day-to-day people and experiences. And if you're working 12 or 14 hours a day and you're not following the perfect week, you won't have those day-to-day people and experiences, and you will have a lot of regret. So remember, it's not about money or stuff. It's about people and experiences.
Love it. Thanks again, my friend.